there. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday. I'm Jerry Usher, filling in for Cy Kellett. It's a possibility that you heard me on my program along with Debbie Giorgiani, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, earlier today at noon Eastern Time, Monday through Friday at that time, with an encore at midnight Eastern Time right here on many of these same EWTN radio stations. And I am blessed and honored to be in the host's chair, not exactly in Cy's chair, I'm in my own chair, but filling in behind this microphone for Cy Kellett today. And always a great job by the show team at Catholic Answers putting things together for me and for our guests. And in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco about beauty in the liturgy. So be maybe getting your thoughts ready for that program, that second hour of the show. This hour, we're going to talk about resolving conflicts gracefully, and with someone who knows a lot about that because he deals with a lot of people and helps counsel a lot of people who find themselves in conflict situations. It's Dr. Gregory Popchak. He's the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, which provides a nationwide telephone counseling service to help Christians. CatholicCounselors.com is their website. Dr. Greg is a psychotherapist and speaker, and he's authored more than a dozen books, including God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Dr. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we've got to mention your program, too, More to Life. You and Lisa do that, and that's on at, is it 10?
10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday.
10 a.m. Eastern time. Excellent. So you're part of the EWTN lineup as well. You and Lisa do a fantastic job. And I just want to let our listeners know the phone lines are wide open right now. If you want to talk about conflict in your life, it's a part of life. Sometimes it can't be avoided. Maybe you're wondering how to deal with it gracefully and in a Christian manner. Maybe you've got that one person you just can't avoid locking horns with. I'm sure Dr. Greg can give you some advice on avoiding conflict with that individual. Maybe you just want to learn how to better set boundaries. That's a very important thing in avoiding conflict as well. Of course, the virtues can play a big part in our avoiding or resolving conflicts gracefully. So maybe you're wondering what virtues you can develop to keep you out of conflicts. Anything along these lines, the number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, and Marie will screen your phone calls at that number right now. And Dr. Greg, let's just start real basic. What's your most important tip for dealing with conflict gracefully?
You know, the funny thing is, everybody says communication is key, and of course, communication is important. But interestingly enough, the research says there's actually one thing that's even more important than good communication, and that's caretaking. The idea that when you're disagreeing with somebody, the most important thing isn't actually solving the problem. The most important thing is taking care of the other person so that you can solve the problem together. There have been several studies that actually looked at people who were considered to be good communicators, who sort of followed all the rules of good arguing, who actually were less effective at solving their problems than people who were less effective communicators, but who did more to try to be sensitive to the needs of the other person, to encourage the other person through the tension and toward solutions, to do things like say, you know, look, this is really hard, but thanks for hanging in there with me, or, hey, look, I really do love you, you know, or, you know, it's really important for me that you get what you need out of this, too, or those kinds of supportive, encouraging messages that say, let's try to stay on the same side against the problem instead of working against each other.
Very good. Well, what role does listening then play in that? It sounds like it'd probably be a pretty important aspect of that.
Well, I mean, it's everything, but it comes, you know, it's listening in a particular way. You know, it's not just listening to the words the other person says. It's really about listening to what their needs are, and then reassuring that person that their needs are just as important to you as your needs are, which can be, you know, hard to do, especially if you feel like those needs are mutually exclusive somehow. But if you're able to be a little creative and really listen, 9 times out of 10, you're able to figure out how to come up with a solution that gets both of your needs, the sets of needs met. You just sometimes have to be a little more creative about how that happens and the timetable that happens in.
Catholic Answers Live, hour number 1, just getting underway. Phone lines are open at 888 888- 888-318-7884, talking about resolving conflicts gracefully today with Dr. Gregory Popchak. He is the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, and their website, again, is CatholicCounselors.com. Obviously, this is probably a softball question, because I was lamenting one day about kind of having a conflict with somebody in my life, and the person who I was talking to says, anytime you get two people under the same roof, at some point you're going to have conflict. So why do you think conflict is so common, Dr. Greg?
Well, again, it's largely because most people go into a conversation expecting that the other person isn't going to respect their needs or their wishes. There's a certain sense that one of us has to come out of this the victor, and it's going to be me, right? And that's really the root of all conflict, the idea that, I'm afraid that you're not going to want to help me get my needs met. So if you're able to identify what that other person's need is, which goes back to your point about listening, and then secondly, reassure that person that their needs really are important to you, and that you're just hoping that you guys can be creative enough to work together to figure out how you can both get your needs met, that really takes a lot of the tension out. The whole goal is to remember that the person isn't the problem. The problem is the problem. And it's your job to work together with this other person to solve the problem.
888-318-7884. We'll get to your calls in just a few minutes here on Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Gregory Popchak is with us here talking about resolving conflicts gracefully. Maybe you're looking for advice on how to avoid thinking that you have to win in a conflict situation. Maybe you're curious to know if there comes a point within a conflict when you just need to walk away. Any of these and other questions can be fair game here on the program at 888-318-7884. And you mentioned the whole, the most fruitful way to do this, of course, is, like you said, taking care of the other person, knowing, letting them know you respect them and so forth. But how can you deal effectively when someone just isn't really willing to do that, Dr. Greg, is being hostile and antagonistic?
Well, it's really easy to get triggered by somebody who's acting that way toward you, and then you start defending yourself or trying to explain why they're wrong. We're escalating it in other ways, and that's a natural thing to want to do. But my encouragement to anybody who's listening, if you've got somebody who tends to approach you in a more antagonistic or hostile way, best thing for you to do is take a breath and not respond to what they're saying, but rather empathize with the emotion behind their words and then redirect them towards some kind of a solution. So, for instance, to be able to say, look, I'm hearing that you're really upset about this, or I get how frustrated you are about thus and such, but what I'm not understanding is, what is it exactly that you're saying you want to try to do about this? Help me figure out how you want to resolve this, or what we need to do to address this. In other words, you're not responding to the attack. You're not defending yourself. You're not, like I said, trying to explain why they're wrong. But you're empathizing with the fact that they're frustrated, they're hurt, they're angry, they're scared, whatever it is. But then redirecting them towards solutions to try to get their thinking brain back engaged so that you can then work together on creating those solutions together. That really does diffuse people, because when someone's approaching you that way, again, they're afraid that you're not going to respect them. They're afraid that you're not going to take their needs seriously. And they haven't really thought through it. They're in reaction. So their emotional brain has taken over, right, and just sort of flooded their whole system. But by first engaging those emotions and empathizing with them and then redirecting them toward solutions, what you're trying to do there is jumpstart their thinking brain to come back online. And if you can do that, then you can work with them. Up until that point, you just sort of have to manage the person and be empathetic and try to, let reassure them and those sorts of things. Now, if they're being completely antagonistic and not willing to work with you, it's okay to set limits with that mm-hmm. person and to say, look, I'd love to have this conversation with you, but it's not this way. Can we take it down a couple of notches? And other things, too, that we talk about in the book. But the most common way to redirect those conversations is, again, to empathize and then redirect towards solutions.
Well, obviously, if there's conflict, then there is a problem of some sort, a disagreement, what have you. And sometimes one or the other person is going to have to bring up something that they know the other person isn't going to take very well, whether that's a problem or a criticism, something like that. How can we raise topics like this without them becoming, escalating into arguments?
Well, there are two things that you want to keep in mind, and both of these are really grounded in good research. The first one is the idea of using a soft open. A soft open versus a hard open, right? So if you're gonna create conflict by bringing something up with a hard open, that's basically more accusatory, more, look, you did this wrong, you know, and I'm calling you to account for it, versus a soft open, which sort of says, look, there's this problem and I need your help with it. That ties into something else that's a really important distinction, which is the difference between a criticism and a complaint. And we don't often think of those two things as different, but in reality they are. You know, a lot of times when we start a conversation, especially a conversation about problems with our spouse or our kids or anybody else we care about, we tend to start them with criticisms, right? And criticisms are more antagonistic, they're more personal, they're more emotional. It has more to do with, look, I'm really upset that you did thus and such, and you better knock it off or else, right? It's sort of the approach of a criticism. A complaint is where you describe the problem. Listen, I'm really unhappy with thus and such, Jerry, and I really need to get your help in fixing this, but I'm not sure what to do. Do you have any thoughts about how we could address this problem? Mm-hmm. That's a very different thing, right, than me coming at you and saying, you know, Jerry, you're a terrible host because you did this, and I'm really upset with you right now. I mean, that's going to get your back up, right? You
know? Right, right.
So the difference between that criticism versus that complaint, the difference between the soft open and the hard open, it sets a totally different tone when you can make a complaint and use a soft open to do it versus if you use that criticism and then lead with that hard open.
Yeah, it can be very disarming. I've got a very good friend who does something just like that, Dr. Ray. He'll start the conversation, help me understand, you know, and
yeah,
it's just sort of, you know,
now,
almost.
On the one hand, you know what's coming. Right?
Yeah, right.
But on the other hand, it's a little easier to take. And that's, you know, when I first present this stuff to people, you know, sometimes they kind of roll their eyes and they're like, okay, that seems like an awful lot of work. But it's a whole lot less work to really think about what you want to say before you say it than it is to try to clean up the mess that gets left if you lead with those criticisms and hard opens that ultimately blow up the conversation and make it impossible to discuss.
All right, resolving conflicts gracefully, that is our goal. That should be our aim anytime we find ourselves within a conflict. And that is what our expert this hour on the program, Dr. Gregory Popcheck, is talking about on Catholic Answers Live. We do have a phone line still open if you would like to get in. Maybe you've got some conflicts that arise between you and your spouse, you and a child, maybe you and a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. Conflicts can rear their ugly heads in all sort of interpersonal relationships. So please do join us here at 888-318-7884. We'll get to Christy in Colorado and the others here in just a moment on Catholic Answers Live. I just want to mention that, you know, it's hard to believe, it's actually not hard to believe. Christmas is already everywhere we look. It is all around us in the stores, on the TVs, the commercials, or what have you. And there's nothing we can do about that. But what we can do as Catholic Christians is we can prepare for Christmas in the right way. And we can observe the seasons as they come in the liturgical year. That includes Advent. And this Advent and Christmas season, Catholic Answers is challenging you to build up your apologetic muscles. That's right. Do this for yourself. Do it for somebody you love. And this year, Catholic Answers has two great ways to challenge yourself, your friends, and your family. This hour, I'll tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. When you purchase the sampler of all 35 books in the 20 Answers series, you're going to save 65% off the normal price. And Catholic Answers is challenging you to finish them all during this Advent and Christmas season. Then they're going to give you free shipping if you live within a continental United States. So that's 65% off every set you purchase, plus free shipping. 35 books plus free shipping, plus answers to 700 questions about all things Catholic. So Advent begins Sunday, December 1st. Order your set today well ahead of time so you have them. And the offer is actually good through Sunday, November 10th. And we'll tell you about the second challenge at the bottom of the next hour.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Anytime you have Catholic answers, you get Catholic questions, you get Catholic answers live right here on your radio. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. 888-318-7884 as we talk about resolving conflicts gracefully as we possibly can with Dr. Gregory Popcheck. He is the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute. And Dr. Greg, if you're all set, we got a lot of callers we want to get to here. So why don't we do that?
Let's do it.
Okay, Christy, as promised, in Colorado, is listening on iHeartRadio, and you are first today on Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Christy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Popcheck, first of all, I want to say thank you for Better Forever. Great book, helped us a lot.
Oh, thank you for that.
And my question for you is about my 18-year-old daughter. She lives at home, college. She has her first boyfriend. We've been teaching chastity for about 8 years. And now that she has a boyfriend, it's she would like some rules to be relaxed. I like what you said about staying on the same side of an argument. I always try to do that and to speak the truth with gentleness and love. But at the end of the day, either the rule gets relaxed or it doesn't. And so I'm anticipating between now and May, when she graduates, more conflict with her. And so if you have any advice on how to keep it positive and avoid that, it'd be great.
Sure. So what kind of rules are you guys arguing about?
Well, I wouldn't even say we're arguing about them, but really what we have a curfew. It's generous, I think. It's midnight and 10 o'clock on school nights. But I'm like, whatever you want to do, you can do by then. And then no overnights. She recently asked about going to the mountains to a cabin for the weekend with a group of friends, which turned out really to be two couples. And the other couple's already living together. And so I said no. And then we had a big discussion about whether she needed my permission or not. And, you know, yeah, I told her, yes, you do. You still need my permission.
No, well, I mean, you're setting the rules you're setting are great and perfectly reasonable. I guess the larger question, though, is, you know, it's not just about enforcing the rules, right? It's ultimately about discipling her into healthy adult relationships and healthy dating relationships. And, you know, so I guess what I'm wondering is what kind of time are you getting with her one-on-one at this point? Not to lecture her about this stuff, but to really listen to where she's at, what's going on with the boyfriend, what her goals are for her life, and, you know, and just really kind of helping her think through what she wants, who she wants to be as a young woman of God, what she wants from these relationships. Because this is a really important time for parents, right, to be mentoring their kids into healthy adult relationships. So what kind of time are you getting with her around that kind of stuff?
Actually, quite a bit. We meet, she's home every day. I'm home, and we did a lot of homeschooling, and we've spent a lot of time together. Our relationship's very good. We actually just spent a weekend together so that we could discuss some of these things more directly.
So where's the antagonism coming from, though, then? So what's it going to take to get more on the same page about this? Because she's clearly not seeing the point of your rules, right? So what
well,
is it that
she does? She tells me, and when she suggests that there's another way to live her life, I challenge her on that and say, you know, like what? And she'll say, well, I haven't really thought through it as much as you have, and I haven't done the research. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And so when I ask her questions, I get very short answers, and so it ends up being more of a lecture or a monologue. Even though I don't.
All right, so this is that's helpful. Thank you. So here's what I want you to do. Okay, in the book Parenting with Grace, in the teen chapter, we kind of walk through an exercise that's going to help her clarify what her values are. So teens hate hypocrites, right? I mean, you can use that against them. But the first step you want to do is help clarify what it is exactly that she wants to be known for. What does she want to live for? You know, she says, well, there are different ways to live. I mean, and that's technically true. But what does she want to be known for, right? And then once you've clarified that, then you can have a conversation with her about how her choices reflect that identity that she wants to project to the world. So, for instance, you know, I like to kind of describe this as, let's imagine for a minute that you were in a reality show, you're saying to your daughter. Let's imagine you were in a reality show, and the camera was just following you around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you didn't ever tell anybody what you stood for or what you believed in or who you wanted to be or what you wanted to be known as, but people were just supposed to figure that out by watching the reality show of your life. What are those things that they'd want to say about you? You know, another way to put it would be to say, you know, if you think about all your friends, you probably have a sentence or two, or maybe even just a word or two, that describes them. Oh, he's the ambitious one, or he's the class clown, or she's the, you know, flirt, or she, whatever. What's the one or two words that you want people to really think about you? And really, don't give it to her. Really make her think about that and give you some answers. And then once you've gotten some of those descriptors, ask her to consider, well, so what choices do you need to be making in your life to be able to project that message to the world? The other factor in this is I'd like to see you guys praying about this, because the other thing is, you know, when she's saying, well, there are other ways to live, what that implies to me is that she's really not bought into a relationship with Christ or the church, which I think is probably the deeper issue. And I want to see you guys praying about this together, asking her to lead the prayer in this. If she's not sure how to do that, then really coaching her in that, because I think that this is a time where kids' faith development is all about relationship. They know something is true if it facilitates their relationships, and they start to believe it's false if it gets in the way of their relationships. And so we've got to find a way to help her integrate her prayer life into this relationship, to help her see that God wants to give her everything that she deserves too. So there are sort of several different ways to approach this. One is through that identity exercise I just gave you. The second is by praying more meaningfully about the relationship together. We talk about both of those things in the teen chapter on Parenting with Grace.
All right, Christy.
Thank you. Yes,
Thank you, Christy.
Kind of subscribing to the clockmaker image of God right now. So
yeah.
She doesn't, even though I show her ways that God is directly involved in our lives every day,
it's not about showing her, it's about having her experience it. So for example, when you're praying with her, I want you to pray over her and say, Lord, help her to see how much you love her, and help her to experience your blessings in her heart and feel that your presence in her heart, and then ask her to start leading some of those prayers too. To say, you know, Lord, I don't know if I believe in you. I don't know if you're really here and that you really love me. I can't feel you. Can you please show me that you're real if you really are? Because I don't know what I believe. And just have her be honest with that prayer. And then when she's praying that way, then you can have her bring the relationship to it too. But all this is really ultimately saying that she doesn't really know where she stands with God. And that's the core issue.
All right, Christy, thanks for your phone call to Catholic Answers Live and your listenership. We appreciate that greatly. The number is 888-318-7884, talking about conflict resolution and how we do that gracefully as possible. Conflict is a part of life. Maybe you have that one person that just kind of grates on you or you on them. You just can't avoid conflict with them. Talk about the virtues to develop to avoid getting into conflict. We haven't talked about boundaries yet. We certainly are going to do that, but maybe you're a person who doesn't feel like you have the will or the tools to set proper boundaries. So feel free to call in and speak with Dr. Gregory Popchak at 888-318-7884. And before we go to the next break and then take Bob's call, Dr. Greg, I'm sure Christy's call is probably, you probably hear this a lot from parents, of especially of teens that age. How prevalent is that issue at that point in teens' lives, between parents and teens trying to stay on the same page, parents trying to do what's best for the teens, and the teens, you know, just wanting to kind of spread their wings a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's extraordinarily common. But I'll tell you what, in every case, it really is sort of rooted in the same issue that I was just sharing with the caller, that you know, faith evolves through different stages. You know, we talk about this in our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. And in the adolescent years, the stage of faith that kids are in is what we'll call the relationship stage. Okay, so as I was sharing with the caller, teens know that, or they believe that something is true to the degree that it facilitates their relationships, and they believe that something's false to the degree that it complicates their relationships. And so adolescents are all about forming relationships, right? And so if we hit them with a whole lot of rules that say, well, you know, our faith says, blah, 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 you can't do this and you can't do that, they start to see the faith as a series of obstacles that have to be overcome in order for them to have a happy and fulfilling life. Our job as Christian parents has to be to show them how the faith facilitates their ability to both become the people that they say they want to be and have relationships that are truly and authentically loving. So it has to. We have to come at this question from a much more helpful and positive angle than from just the, here's the list of things that our faith tells us you can't do. It's not that those things aren't true. It's just that the emphasis leaves kids cold because it makes it sound like the faith is an obstacle that has to be overcome on the way to having healthy relationships, which, of course, isn't true at all.
Right. Beautifully put. Thank you so much. We're going to take our second break this hour of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest today. Resolving conflict gracefully is our topic. The number for you to join the conversation, 888-318-7884. Get on that open phone line. It's waiting for you right now.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Be with us here on the program. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, and Dr. Gregory Popchak is our guest. And it's one thing for you to listen to a radio program, perhaps while you're driving home or doing things around the house, and you hear this or that book mentioned, and then you go, I want to get that book. What was the name of it? I can't remember. Well, Dr. Greg, why don't we give people a website where they can find all of your stuff and maybe, you know, mention a couple of the books that you've talked about on the show today.
Sure, sure. Well, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com. That's Catholic Counselors, all one word with an S on the end, .com, to learn more about our telecounseling practice as well as the books I've mentioned on the program so far. Specifically, we're talking a lot about God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is all about managing conflict gracefully. But in the last call, I was also talking about Parenting with Grace, the Catholic Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. Specifically, we were focusing on the teen chapter there, but lots of resources for parenting, for marriage, and for Christian living, all available at CatholicCounselors.com.
Okay, talking about resolving conflicts gracefully today, Bob has an issue to discuss with you, Dr. Greg. He's in Perrysburg, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Welcome, Bob.
Can you hear me?
Just fine.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Popchick, for taking my call. Big fan. So I'll just give you a little quick rundown. I'm 60 years old, and my first wife and I had 5 children, and she passed away when she was 42. We were similar age. So I still had 3 of the kids at home, and so eventually I got remarried, and there was a little bit of a conflict between my wife and my kids, you know, some of my younger kids who were still at home. So the question I have is, when we periodically run into difficulties, usually revolving around when, you know, I go and want to do things with my kids because she doesn't really want anything to do with them, she always brings up the past, things that happened, you know, 6 or 7 years. We've been married 7 years, and she'll always bring up mistakes that I've made, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I just, it's improving. It's, you know, it's getting a lot better. But I just wondered if you had any ideas of how to respond. You know, I respond to that with, you know, you've forgiven me for that. You know, I've said I'm sorry in the past, and you just mm-hmm. keep bringing these things up. So I wonder if you had any ideas.
Sure, sure. Okay, so when we're in our emotional brain, all right, let me back up again. So there are several, we have 2 different brains at work when we're in conflict. So there's your thinking brain, which is your cortex, and then you've got your limbic system, your emotional brain. And when you get upset, then your body tends to flood with stress chemicals that literally will shut down your cortex. You could actually watch it happen on a functional MRI if you were hooked up to it when you're getting upset about something. And then your limbic system, your emotional brain, just kind of takes over. And the way the emotional brain works is it compares things, right? So if I'm upset about something right now in the present, my emotional brain starts looking back through my history to find all the things that remind me of this thing that's going on right now, and then lumps them all together and says, this is just like that and that and that and that and that. And then my mouth starts running, and I start complaining about all that stuff at once. Really? I'm honestly just complaining about the thing, the present problem, but it's triggered all that past stuff. So what's happening is there's something going on in the present that's reminding your wife of all those other past things, and what you're saying is that you're having, there's some issue with the kids, you know, the adult kids in the present, that's reminding you of maybe times that she feels like, other times that she feels like you chose the kids over her, or whatever it was, right? And so she's using all those old examples. She doesn't really want to go back over that old stuff. What she's trying to say is, and look, there's a long history of this exact kind of thing. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is what I started off the show with, saying to her, listen, honey, I really understand how upset you are about this and how frustrated you are about these kinds of things. Help me understand what it is that we need to do to try to resolve the issue that's in front of us, though. Because what I'm hearing you say is that this thing that's going on reminds you of this and this and this and this and this, and it's just this big long thing going all the way back years and years and years. And it just breaks my heart that you're still upset about all of this. So I'd like to work with you to figure out how we can address this moving forward. What do you think we need to do? You know, and just really kind of engage it on that level. Don't try to refight all the old stuff. Acknowledge that, you know, there's some validity in what she's saying from that old stuff, but that it has more to do with the issue that you're handling in the present than it does to do with all that old stuff.
Acknowledge the problem that exists at the time, and that how that hurts her, and then acknowledge that she's upset about all these other things that have happened in the past. But let's try to stay with solving the problem of the present.
Right, but in her mind, in her emotional brain, they're all the same thing. Because what she's really saying is there's a common element between this present problem and all these other examples I'm bringing up. So if you can kind of back her up and even say, hey, look, help me understand what you see the common thread here running between all these things is. And then she might like get a deer in the headlights look on her face because she's never actually thought about it before, right? She's just feeling this stuff. But if you say to her, look, I'm hearing you complain about all these different things. Help me connect the dots. What do you think is the common element between all this? What's the common hurt that you've got with all these different things? Let's try to figure out a way to resolve that. I think that's going to kind of blow her mind and give you some new ways to respond to this dynamic.
What do you think, Bob?
Oh, that is great. Thank you very much, Dr.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks
You're
for calling.
You're welcome, Bob. Thanks for the call.
Resolving Conflict Gracefully today on Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Gregory Popchak. And we will go to James next, watching on Facebook Live, and he is in Massachusetts this afternoon. Hi, James. You're on with Dr. Popchak.
Oh, hi. Just wanted to talk to the doctor. I have a very complicated problem with my wife. She left me about a year ago, took off her wedding ring, and then basically when she ran out of her sister's money, who she was borrowing from, she came back home, never put the ring back on, and has basically been giving me ultimatums ever since that I need to buy her a new house because the house that we live in is not satisfactory to her. And I'm really at a loss. I'm 60 years old now, and she's already retired. And you know, the house she wants to buy is in a much more expensive neighborhood. And it just seems as though she has a very little grasp of what it means to prepare for retirement. And all she really cares about is, moving into this some better type of neighborhood. And we live in a perfectly fine middle class neighborhood. It's not a problem. It's just in her mind, she just feels as though she deserves a lot more. And, you know, I've said to her, I just can't get my head around buying a new house with a person who can't even wear a wedding ring. And she just keeps throwing it in my face that I've failed her in many ways. So I just, you know, she threatened me this morning, either buy her a house or she's going to divorce me. And I don't really know how to respond. I don't know what to say.
Well, I guess there are two things. The first thing is it's not so much about the house as much as it is about what the house means to her. So I don't know if you've ever had that conversation where you said, help me understand what getting this new house really means to you. My suspicion is that it's her way of having you do penance for all the ways that she says that you've disappointed her. Whether that's legitimate or not, I don't have time to get into. But that's how it's coming across to me. She's saying to you that getting this house would mean X to me, and you guys are fighting about whether to get the house or not, and you're not really dealing with the underlying issue of what that actually would mean to her on an emotional level. The other part of it, though, I got to ask you, James, what have you guys done to try to resolve the larger marital problems? What kind of professional help are you getting?
Well, we have. I have tried on several occasions to go to marriage counseling with her, and generally, what ends up happening is she gets in an argument with the counselor and says, I'm never going back to that person, because the counselor will, she's kind of a narcissistic personality. Like, she'll tell lies and expect, like, for example, she said to a counselor in one of the last counseling sessions we went to that the reason that she didn't go through with the divorce was because the sheriff ripped up the divorce papers, and it was just completely absurd. And the counselor said to her, how does that work? So because the sheriff happens to be a friend of mine. So she just told a lie, and she was confronted by that lie, you know, by the counselor. And she just generally just storms out of every counseling
session. And then when she quit, then you just felt like, well, what's the point of continuing? And then you quit too?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So and that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I'm not faulting you for that. But I'm gonna challenge you, because I want you to work with somebody who's what's called a marriage-friendly therapist. That's an actual thing, not just a describing term. There is actually a registry of marriage-friendly therapists. If you go to marriagefriendlytherapists.com, all of our therapists at CatholicCounselors.com are marriage-friendly therapists. What that means is there are lots of different therapists who are actually individual counselors who, quote-unquote, also do marriage therapy. When you go to an individual counselor who, quote-unquote, also does marriage therapy, they have about a 30% success rate. When you work with a marriage-friendly therapist, the research shows that it goes up to over 90%. Now, that's step one. I want you to find a good marriage-friendly therapist, whether you work with somebody in your area or you contact us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute at CatholicCounselors.com, either way. But the second thing I want you to do is what's going to happen even when you're working with a marriage-friendly therapist, it's going to come to a point where your wife storms out of the room and refuses to go back. You have to continue at that point, because what's happening is, even though she's miserable, in a weird way, the marriage is kind of working for her. She wants to be able to offload all of her frustration onto you and say, fix this problem for me.
And if anybody holds her accountable, then she's going to get upset about that. But if you pull out of the process at that point, you end up rewarding the behavior that she's engaging in. But if you continue to go to the therapist, especially if you're working with a marriage-friendly therapist, they do something called systems therapy. And systems therapy works on not just, well, the way it works is it teaches you, James, how you can respond differently to your wife so that you can facilitate a change in the larger relationship. So even if you're the only one working on the marriage, you can make it better using systems theory. And once she realizes the change is coming, with her or without her, then she's going to want to reengage. But if she can bully her way out of this and just sort of say, well, I'm going to, you know, you have to be the one to fix it, I'm not going to do this, and how dare you, and you buy into that, then everything is going to stay the way it is. So my encouragement to you would be to hook up with a good marriage-friendly therapist and then stay with it, even once she quits. Because if you keep learning how to respond more effectively with her, both building rapport and setting appropriate boundaries, she's going to see that change is coming one way or the other. So that's going to make her want to invest in being part of that change. And that's really the best way to move forward with that. So the two websites I mentioned, marriagefriendlytherapists.com for a local referral, or you can contact us to learn more about working with my team at catholiccounselors.com, because we all practice that kind of counseling and do both systems therapy for marriages together as well as solo marital therapy as well.
Does that help you, James?
Yes. Very much, thank you. Okay, very much, doctor.
You'll be in our prayers, James, be assured of that, and we certainly want the best to come out of that. Thank you for the phone call. We got Sierra next in New Mexico. I'm Jerry Usher, filling in for Cy Kellett today on Catholic Answers Live. And you know your friends at Catholic Answers, they not only want you to get great faith resources into your hands, but they want to do it sometimes at no cost to you. And that's what's happening again right now. Catholic Answers is a brand new ebook that they've just released, and as I said, it's absolutely free. It's called A Great Cloud of Witnesses, The Communion of Saints. All you have to do to get your free copy of this ebook is visit shop.catholic.com. Look for the banner at the top of the page to download your free copy. It's full of great articles about the saints by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Father Mitch Pacwa, and others. You know you can't go wrong if it's from Catholic Answers, and especially when it's free. So go to the shop.catholic.com. Look for the banner to download A Great Cloud of Witnesses, The Communion of Saints, your latest free ebook from Catholic Answers.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said. Put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We're going to go back to your calls for Dr. Gregory Popcheck today, this hour of Catholic Answers Live, talking about resolving conflict gracefully. By the way, in the second hour, again, just a heads up, His Excellency Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco. We're going to talk about beauty in liturgy. Beauty in liturgy, that is our second hour topic. So once we end up this first hour, you can start calling in for the next hour, talking about beauty in liturgy. But for now, we go back to your calls about conflict. And Sierra is in New Mexico, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Welcome, Sierra.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've... I'm really nervous. I'm sorry. But anyways, I have five kids, and they're all in their 30s. The youngest is 17. I was a deadbeat mom, and it hurts me to say that, you know, to even admit that. And I was abusive to my kids. They don't talk to me. But anyways, I know I've been looking in the Bible because the Bible has the answers for everything. And I've been looking in the Bible for scripture verses or for people, apostles, or just people that Jesus came in contact with in the New and the Old Testament, that a parent did that provoked, because I didn't raise them church. I didn't raise them Catholic or anything, so they don't believe in God. And I've been looking in the Bible because I can't forgive myself. I'm having a really hard time forgiving myself, and Satan knows me so well, he knows exactly what buttons to push, so that's why I'm looking for answers in the Bible.
So, Sierra, let me ask you a question here. So you said you don't have any contact with the kids now at all? Or do you have some kind of relationship there?
With my daughter, I don't. My oldest son, he was in the military, served his 2 or 3 years, came back with PTSD. He's a drug addict. My other son, I have two that are alcohol. Well, yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. I apologize.
No, you're okay. So do you see any of them on any kind of regular basis or have any kind of contact with them where they talk to you ever?
Yeah, the one I see, he's the third one. I see him. I watch his my grandson.
Okay.
But the other.
So Sierra, let's talk about what forgiveness means, all right? And first of all, I'm both my heart's breaking for what you've been through, and I'm also really touched by the humility that you're showing here by calling up and talking about this in such a frank way and being willing to admit, you know, what you've done and what you've been through and how you've hurt your kids and the desire that you have to try to do what you can to make things right and to move forward with this. Forgiving yourself doesn't mean saying that everything you did was okay, or forgiving anybody else doesn't mean that you're saying that what they did is okay either. What forgiving yourself, and this is St. Augustine who said this, saying that forgiveness involves surrendering your natural desire for revenge. In other words, when you forgive somebody, you surrender your desire to hurt them for having hurt you. You say, look, I you know, what they did was awful, but I'm not going to go out of my way to hurt them for having hurt me and just add more fuel to the fire. When you're forgiving yourself, what you're saying is, look, what I did was terrible, was hurtful, was sinful, was destructive, but I've already done enough damage to myself and to others, so I'm not going to heap even more pain on myself by beating up on myself or hating myself. What I'm going to do instead is work for my good. I'm going to work to heal the pain that caused me to act the way I did toward my kids. I'm going to try to live the rest of my life showing them what a healthy, godly person looks like, and I'm going to fight those demons every day in a graceful way to help me become the strong, godly woman that I couldn't be when they were little, so that maybe I could show them how my faith is helping me put my life back together, and that will help them want to live a more godly life as well. So forgiving yourself doesn't mean saying everything you did was okay. It doesn't mean saying that that somehow magically, you know, you should never feel guilty about this stuff anymore. What it means, though, is you want to put all that energy that you've got into, you know, that you're putting right now into beating up on yourself or, running yourself down. You want to put all that energy into healing and pursuing whatever opportunities God is giving you to become that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled woman that he sees when he looks at you. Again, I want to thank you for your humility and being willing to face this, and I want to let you know we're going to add you to my More to Life prayer list for my program, and I'm sure the Catholic Answers will be adding you to theirs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to encourage you to keep being faithful on your journey toward healing here, because clearly the Holy Spirit's doing something in your heart. I want you to keep participating with that.
Does that give you a little bit more peace, Sierra?
Yes, I feel at ease. You know, what he was saying is just, you know, I'm not going to forget, and, you know, they're not going to forget, but I need to put this energy into something good. That they see me practicing the Catholic way, that they see me, this Jesus, you know, that he's Lord and King, and they see the miracles he does in my life that'll bring them closer to God.
And they see you, and they see you cooperating with God's grace to be a healthier, better integrated, more peaceful, loving, generous person. And the more they can see you being that healthy, generous person, the more that's what it means to forgive yourself, to really lean into that healing that God wants to give you.
All right, Sierra, thank you for your phone call. Feel free to call the show anytime at 888-318-7884. We're going to go to Linda next in Wisconsin, listening to Catholic Answers Live there. Hi, Linda. Welcome. You're on with Dr. Popchak.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Yes, my issue is something that just has seemed to be becoming more and more of a problem with my adult members of my family. So, like, I'm 50. My sisters are actually all older than I am. My parents, our parents are both passed away. So when we get together for holidays, it's just, you know, our adult siblings and then, of course, our children who are also, for the most part, adults. And I have one sister who just really seems to enjoy getting everybody else all riled up, you know, so we'll be sitting at a meal and she'll just make remarks that gets everybody else upset.
Can you give me an example of the kind of remarks she might make?
Yeah, so she knows that we are all, everybody else except for her, are all real conservative in, you know, politics and religion and everything. So she'll say something about, well, yeah, I went to Mass in this one church, but that priest was just way too conservative for me. She'll make fun of, like, all the politicians, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I gotcha. So you're wondering how to handle this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have two suggestions for you. So first of all, let's realize what's going on here. There are some people that they like to play a game called "Let's You and Him Fight," right? If they're entertained, it's like those memes you see on social media where, you know, somebody's sitting in the theater eating popcorn while they're kind of watching the fight go back and forth. That's what she's doing. Okay, she's sort of setting up a scenario where she, you know, she either wants to participate in the fight or watch the fight, but it's her fun. Okay, which is obviously not fun for anybody else. But the reason I say that is because it's not a real conversation. She's not honestly trying to seek understanding or try to come to greater harmony. She's just throwing a ball out in the middle of the field and saying, let's kick this thing around in the most unpleasant way possible. So because you know it's a game, you don't have to play it. Like, if it was a real conversation, then it would, you know, it'd be wrong to somehow let this out. So what you want to do, because it's a game, is to say to her, well, you know, if those are really important questions, or I know those are really important concerns that you've got, or that's, you know, that's a really serious topic. I would love to discuss that with you if you're really interested in unpacking it over the course of the year. You know, let's make a time to go out to lunch together after this, you know, family gathering, and we'll have a conversation about it. Or let's set up a phone call next week to talk about this. But right now, we're all here to try to enjoy each other and be a family. Let's focus on that. Boom. It's the rare person who'll keep pushing past that, but if she does, just keep, you know, be the broken record. Just keep coming back to that thing. But the thing to keep in mind here is if a person really wants to have a serious conversation about something, they're going to bring it up at a time where you can actually have a discussion and get to. And the fact that she's not says that she's not really interested in coming to harmony about this. So it's okay to just say, look, that's a serious discussion. I'd love to have it with you. Let's do it in this way, or let's do it in that way, or follow up with me over here. But right now, we're focusing on that. The second suggestion I've got for you is, you know, if this happens, like you were saying, it happens during dinner, but if it happens, say, after dinner or whatever, instead of just letting the after dinner time or the before dinner time be just open conversation time, plan a game or an activity that everybody can be involved in. Because if you have something to do together, a project, a game, something, then that allows you to be alongside of each other without getting too much into these more in-your-face topics. So those are two suggestions for you.
All right, Linda, hope that's helpful. Aaliyah and the others, we are not going to have time this hour. We're getting set for hour number two with Archbishop Cordiglione. If you have questions about the liturgy, beauty in the liturgy, music, church buildings, all things having to do with our lives in the liturgy and the beauty that should be a part of it, you can start calling now at 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thank you so much. CatholicCounselors.com is your website. And you will hear Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck on most of these same EWTN stations Monday through Friday at 10 Eastern Time, or 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, Greg, so much. God bless.
God bless, Jerry. Thank you.
Yep.